Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today, you will also, the first segment, be hearing Wendy Wilson's commentary on health issues on Thursday, April 24th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hey, it wasn't a fantastic day in gold. It was an interesting day in gold. Woke up first thing this morning, even before the coffee maker comes on, the gold and silver prices come on, and gold was down. It was down big. We saw a low today of 1267, and later in trade during the day, it popped to a high of 1299, and we're looking at 1293. 1293 up 880. We have silver, did the same thing, had a low of 1892 and a top of 2002. Currently, 1979, up 24. Platinum was up $6 today at 1416, and palladium up 14 at 803. It's enough to get your blood circulating today when you have days like that. An interesting day, a busy day today here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. The USDX today down 0.07 at 79.79, and crude oil took back its 50 cents from yesterday, up 47 at 101.91. And the paper markets today, pretty much ending flat on the day. Really little change in the Dow, 16,501. The NASDAQ up 21 at 41.48. The S&P up 3 at 18.78. And the 10-year yield today, 2.69. And Al, did I forget to give the USDX today? Did I forget that?
No, you forgot whether you gave it or not.
Were you paying attention?
You remembered to give it, but you didn't remember whether you gave it or not.
0.07 to the downside at 79.70. Nine. So, yes, it was a good day in the markets today. And I really don't know why they came out, and I understand why they hit up first. You had unemployment benefits for the week, the number of people seeking U.S. unemployment benefits, that surged 24,000 to a seasonally adjusted 329. They're blaming it on Easter to reflect temporary layoffs.
It was an unseasonably spring-like Easter. And this may explain anything that any adverse problem in the economy for the next 6 months. It may be explained by an unseasonable Easter.
But even if we take a look at the 4-week average of the applications, it's a little less volatile than the number that even rose $4,750 to $316,750. So interesting there. You had employers added 192,000 jobs in March, and that was according to a separate report today. And that followed a gain of 197 in February. You also had durable goods out today, and that is a category that signals business investment plans. That showed that that increased at the fastest pace in 4 months. Orders for durable goods, they increased 2.6% in March, following a 2.1% rise in February. So, woohoo, manufacturing seems to be recovering now. Do you believe
that? Just great news, yeah.
Yeah.
Do I believe it? I don't know if I believe it or not, but it's great. It's great news. It's definitely great news. I don't know if I believe it, but it's great news.
Well, you know, you had a lot of losses. I mean, and lots of times it includes refrigerators and, you know, retail and that sort of the stoves. And there's been a lot of devastation in homes this winter with the cold blast and homes flooding and pipes bursting and everything. So, but there's a lot of other reports that we can go on, but we want to introduce Wendy Wilson from the Apothecary Herbs. She's joining us today, as she does the first segment every Thursday.
Well, hello, Wendy. Melanie, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Hi, Al, how are you?
Good, good.
Awesome, awesome. Well,
so
today
we're going to be talking about Chips Ahoy today.
Well, we're going to be talking about a laboratory on a chip, because some of the latest news in the medical field is these tiny chips that can supposedly detect disease before the doctor or the patient even know that it's there. So Canada, the University of Toronto, Israel, Tel Aviv University, and MIT, they're all coming out with these tech chips that can filter your blood cells with a device called the microfluidic. So these chips will use tiny magnets to separate blood cells from cancer cells. So research on this technology for early cancer detection has been in development actually since 2007, and that research was published in the Journal of Science Translational Medicine. So the biomedical engineering, that field is the wave of the future in medicine, where machines and technology may eventually replace medical and laboratory staff. Now, the WHO reported on these chip devices being able to detect the spread of cancer before conventional tests. So it's a hot market right now. But we want to clear the air, because I know some people say, well, is this a cure or are these just monitoring devices? Well, most of the microfluidic chips are nothing more than small laboratories which attempt to carry out some early detection of a disease, and it's a monitoring service. So they don't cure the patient of a disease. Now, medical community experts say these chips all but will eliminate the need for biopsies and other diagnostic procedures. So we're told that the chips can screen nanoparticles and predict how these particles will interact with the body. And some research is exploring the use of manipulating the nanoparticles to make them more personalized weapons, like they can lace them with chemotherapy drugs and hopefully kill different types of cancer cells. So researchers predict the body will accept this type of chip technology via chemotherapy delivery much better than conventional treatments, and hopefully with fewer side effects. However, the nanoparticle approach, Al and Melody, is a technology that apparently still needs a bit of work, according to Professor Jonathan Rochelieu, and he's of the Institute of Biomaterials and Biomedical Engineering. So according to Dr. Rochelieu, he works in the endocrinology metabolism department. He says, according to his research, you know, these nanoparticles, you know, if you treat them in the lab and they can perform certain tasks, it's okay in the setting of, let's say, a petri dish. But the nanoparticles can't actually penetrate cells yet or tissue. So the nanotechnology they hope to eventually develop, so it will penetrate into human cells. And according to Dr. Alan Lam, who is researching nanoparticle technology, he says the field pretty much is in its infancy, and he kind of compared it to throwing darts blindfolded or like working on a computer from the 1960s. Any questions yet, Al?
Yeah, I got a couple of them. I have a comment or question. I don't even know whether it's a question. Let's see if I have a question or I just have a comment. Here's what's interesting to me about it, about this. First off, are we talking? We're talking about chips that will be implanted, not just something where you take a drop of blood and you put it into an a chip that's external to your body. Is that what's intended, or is
right
it
now?
Intended that this little chip will actually be implanted in your body, and it will one way or another sense, it'll monitor the blood flow and sense a problem and report, who knows, electronically to your computer or whatever, Facebook or who knows?
Well, excellent question. Actually, right now, they're just chips that are external from the human body. They are on the end of endoscopes and things like that for checking for colon cancer. And they are also used on other pieces of equipment in the lab, but eventually they do want to move them into an implantation device. You are correct.
See, the reason this is interesting to me is for people that subscribe to the notion that we're in end times or approaching end times, and they subscribe to the notion that there's going to be a mark of the beast, and you'll take the mark on your hand or on your forehead or some such. Huh. Some people have supposed that this mark is going to be some sort of an implant that will go into our body where people can tell whatever information they need about us will be on this chip that's embedded in our body. And the reason it's interesting is I don't want a chip that's embedded in my body that can expose me to the police state.
But well, I'm with you on that.
That could help me, that could help maintain my health.
And I know, it's not a healthy trade-off.
Could you sell a chip to the American people whose real purpose was to keep you identified for the greater glory of the police state or the New World Order or whatever, but you sell it under the pretext that this will keep you healthy?
I know, it's not a healthy trade-off. I do. Yeah, I don't think it's a healthy trade-off myself. I'm with you. I don't think I would prefer to be chipped. But, you know, Israel is got some information on this chip technology. They say that they've included chips on the end of an endoscope, which is a device they usually use for rectal vaginal cancer exams. So the chips tend to test a patient's biomarkers through hormones, blood lipids, and so forth. And they also say these chips are going to work with electromagnetical type of tools. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Right, so what they're doing is this is a sensor for the moment. If it's on the end of an endoscope, it's providing what you might call the least invasive way of testing a potential cancer, a potential tumor, whatever, to see what the nature of it really was without having to do any surgery.
Well, there's a problem with the technology.
Invasive at this point in time as compared to doing a biopsy or whatever.
Well, there's a problem with the technology, though. A biopsy probably will still do much better at this point because these chip technologies, even on medical devices that are tending to work on a cellular level, the problem researchers are facing is that, you know, diseases like cancer can be very complex and have many biomarkers, and they can be different. So these laboratories on a chip is what I'm calling them. They're going to need to develop some more sophisticated strategies in order to target multiple biomarkers simultaneously so they can max out their potential in the disease detection area. So in some cancers, like colon cancer, sometimes don't have any significant biomarkers. So it's kind of like, you know, a ghost cancer. They don't even detect it. So, but here's
How expensive do you suppose these chips are right now? How expensive will they be 3 years from now? Do you have any notion on price on this, or is that information?
Right now they're just as expensive as if you were to get a biopsy, but in the future they hope to bring the price down so that it's more convenient, faster, and less expensive than biopsy treatments. So
what I'm reminded of are the diabetes testers. You can get a testing device where you take just a drop of your blood. And
right.
It's absorbed down to a little mark on a little device, and you insert that in that little meter. And the meter, less than $100 for the meter,
sure.
And the little plastic strips or paper strips. So I'm curious As to well, we how long do you think it might be before we see similar instruments where we take a little one drop of blood, and it doesn't just measure for diabetes, it measures for, picks up signals on cancers, for example.
I probably would be ready in the next 5 years. But we need to keep the big picture in mind. We keep forgetting that, you know, these devices, I think, are just a distraction. They're nice. They're modern and everything. But what they're doing is just detecting disease, maybe a little bit earlier, but they don't actually cure anything. Okay, so, and even the therapies that they still implement for cancers, they don't cure cancers. And actually,
yeah, I know.
A regression of cancer is just a lessening of the symptoms. So it's not really a cure. So we got to keep that in mind. And some of these nonprofits that, you know, raise money for disease research, like, you know, the Cancer Society, Leukemia Lymphoma Society, you know, Susan G. Komen, Walk for the Cure. They're in the millions of dollars, and these companies spend millions a year on advertising. So if we were actually making a dent at the cure, if we were actually, you know, getting closer to a curing of cancer and other diseases, these agencies would be getting smaller, not bigger. So we got to keep that in mind.
We'd need new diseases, wouldn't we? We'd need more Ebola or something along those lines. And start the Walk for Ebola Foundation. We're no longer walking
Yeah. Well, the thing is people need to keep in mind there's hundreds of ways to use natural therapies. There's lots of them documented out there that actually are very successful in helping the body to heal itself, and those are available now, and they're very inexpensive. So people need to, you know, focus and look at the big picture and, you know, take that power back. You know, disease detection is one thing, but what you're going to do after you know it's there? That's my question for a lot of folks. Personally, I would use some ginseng and some dandelion root and some bloodroot and some other things, because those have been scientifically proven to help kill cancer cells of all kinds.
All right.
Yep. So if they would like more information on how to cleanse the body and boost the immune system to help it heal itself, then that's what we do at Apothecary Herbs. And we have a free product catalog we can send out. They can call us toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Of course, we have the website, thepowerherbs.com. And on thepowerherbs.com, we have a new banner up there, Al. It's called the Herbal Detective. I get these questions all the time. What herb can I use for? So now they can just call or click our Herbal Detective banner, and we'll try to answer that question.
All right. See, your clock is running a little bit faster. Mine's running a little bit slow because you've given the contact information, but we have a minute to go on this segment.
Well, and, you know, here's this other thing. We do have a herb medicine option. It's our version of the HMO. That's also available on our website. And, you know, I love discount coupons. I get them all the time, but I really get upset when they expire before I get to use them. So we've come up with a multiple choice way that they can use coupons, and they are good for 3 months, and they're on the website, and they can check it out. There's a little banner they can click on the HMO herb medicine options and save some money on their herbal products. So get better and save money. That's pretty good.
Well, I think the important point on all of this, we've got diagnosis, and then we have an option. We have a medical system that believes in minimizing symptoms rather than curing disease, but we do have options to cure.
Yes, we do.
They're not promoted by the big industry, by the big pharmaceutical companies. They're not promoted by big medicine because there's not as much money in it. But there are ways of saving yourselves rather than merely suppressing symptoms. And you can learn about that at thepowerherbs.com.
From Wendy,
Wendy, thanks for being on the program.
You're welcome.
Talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188, for all your gold and silver coin needs.
We're continuing the special. The special continues. Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces, $92 more than what you would pay for a gold bullion coin. Now's the time to get these coins. $1,455. Today's special price, $1,455. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And remember, with every order that you purchase, you do get a 1 ounce 2014 Silver Eagle. And of course, our Silver Eagles, $275 over spot. And for volumes, we'll even do better than that. But you have to call us, 800-375-4188. Visit our website, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Eric Holder, I have to bring this up, Al.
All right. I'm not afraid. Just remember, I'm not saying anything. He's the Attorney General. I'm not saying anything critical about the Attorney General.
They had
I don't
protests.
Want the government coming kicking my doors in, but Melody, she's the one. Now go ahead, Melody.
You know what? We talk about Leafs and the Breeze, and you know, here it just shows the corruption in this country. I mean, and I'm talking Wall Street. I'm talking everywhere.
I know.
The corruption in this country. But you don't expect it, or it shouldn't come. Maybe we do expect it, but it shouldn't come from the Attorney General's office. But Oklahoma. Oklahoma. He was supposed to deliver a speech, remarks at a graduation of the Oklahoma City Police Department's graduating cadet class. And there was a lot of angry protests over his scheduled visit. And he was scheduled, it brought a lot of criticism from several of the conservative lawmakers. And he canceled his appointment. There was Representative Paul Wesselhoft, a more Republican. He believes Mr. Holder should be impeached He said in an interview that this man has used his position to advance his own political agenda. He says that's not right. He swore to uphold the U.S. Constitution, defend it for all of us, not some of us. And so it's congratulations, Oklahoma City. And he was he's the only one that's ever been held in contempt. Also, I believe back in 2012.
I don't know. The whole thing just becomes blatant, shameless, in your face. No one even expects our politicians to have a sufficient sense of honor to resign when they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar. Doesn't matter. It'll all blow over and you can go back to robbing people. As soon as you get done with this one, don't worry about it. Nobody's going to do anything.
Plus, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Al.
No, go ahead. It's just offensive.
Plus, Michelle Obama, she was supposed to speech at a senior class. And with all the complaints, she canceled her speech.
Yep. Parents were complaining. And the reason was that Michelle, if she showed up, there'd be so many people from the press and whatever there, that the people who were actually graduating out of that class wouldn't be able to get all their friends and relatives in. Right? The class, the auditorium would only hold so many people, and when they said, when Michelle came in with her entourage and whatever media accompanied her and the rest of it, a bunch of the kids that wanted their parents and friends and whatever to come into your graduation, they wouldn't be able to get the parents in. They'd have to wait outside the door. So they said, we don't need Michelle, and we don't need the rest of these people. And what the heck? I think it's a great thing. It signifies that people are not overly impressed by politicians. They're not that dumb. I mean, we get it. They're a bunch of crooks. And we're just saying, just leave us alone. We're gonna have our own high school graduation, and it's not going to be improved if Michelle Obama shows up Eric Holder or somebody else shows up. Just go away. Run our own lives, and you people go rob each other in Washington.
But you know what, Al? I don't ever remember a time when a first lady had offered to visit where she was actually turned down, that they didn't want her there.
True. That's probably true. I can't imagine anyone turning down Mamie Eisenhower, for example, or Jacqueline Kennedy.
Bush. Oh, all of them.
I understand. If they were coming, everybody...
Even Hillary Clinton in the 90s.
Yeah.
Can't imagine.
Which is hard to believe, especially in retrospect, to say, what the heck? But it was building. Hillary was building for the day we finally had Michelle, and they said, buzz off, we don't need you. You know, it's one of those things. I saw President Obama early in his career in the White House, his position as president. He was overseas in Europe, and he was going through a line of foreign dignitaries or whatever, and he ran into one of them that just wouldn't shake his hand. And that was back when he hadn't been in office for probably even more than 6 months or a year. And the truth of the matter is, he doesn't command much respect. His administration doesn't command much respect. They can be dangerous. I mean, we respect the drones. That's why I was saying I don't have anything bad. Eric Holder, I'm best buddies with Eric Holder as my friend. Don't want any drones coming in on my location, Melody.
But I mean, if you look at the various parts of the country, Oklahoma City, and I'm not sure where that. High school was, it slips my memory.
It's in Oklahoma.
Is that also in Oklahoma, the college, the school?
I don't know. I assume that if it's in Oklahoma City, it was in Oklahoma.
No. I'm talking about Eric Holder was supposed to go to Oklahoma City, and I don't know where she was supposed to speak.
Oh, Michelle.
Michelle.
Oh, I don't know.
But if the people here in the States are reacting to those people, what kind of around the world, the people around the world, the influence, there is no respect for these offices anymore. And the American in our offices at one point in time, I mean, there's just no respect.
I get that. We got the Rodney Dangerfield.
So how, can we accomplish anything?
And again, this also goes to, you can stretch some of these connections too far, but really, to my mind, This goes to what's happening to the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
When people don't respect the president and or the first lady, there is not an obvious and direct connection between a disrespect for the president and a disrespect for the U.S. dollar. But I don't doubt that there is a connection. All right. Not obvious, not exactly direct, but it's still there. This is one more of the leaves in the breeze, or the straws in the breeze that are landing on the camel's back. Just another way of saying, you know, that dollar does not command the respect it once did, and it's not likely to gain respect anytime soon. And if that's the case, the dollar is going to continue to diminish in value. I don't mean that it's going to plunge. I don't mean that it's going to collapse right now or whatever, but it's going to continue to decline. We see some of that. Today, again, we had the dollar index was below 80. It was 79 point whatever. It's been holding more or less below 80 for probably the last 3 or 4 weeks. And for at least 6 months prior to that, you couldn't hardly get the dollar below 80. If it did drop below 80, it popped back up. It was jacked back up in a short period of time, and it appeared that the powers that be had set the line 80 in the U.S. dollar index. They were not going to let the dollar decline below that point. Well, it's too early to say for sure what's going on here, but it does appear that we are now, you know, we'll see the dollar jump up above 80. Hard to say how high it can go, but it's beginning to look that its average number may be below 80 for the foreseeable future. We'll see some ups, but we're going to also see some downs, and then we can start wondering, are we going below 79, 78? These are the kinds of things that are consistent with a nation and a world that doesn't have much respect for President Obama. Well, not direct cause and effect, but still there's a correlation in my opinion. What else do we have, Melody?
Well, as we know, Obama is out visiting the world, particularly the Asian world, and the trade talks with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He's not doing so well. I guess he was looking forward to some sort of a breakthrough today. And Japan's efforts are to protect their agricultural products, including beef, rice, sugar, and pork, are some of the problems. Washington is hoping to protect some of the U.S. automakers from Japanese competitors. And I almost had to laugh at that one. It's like, are you serious? I mean, you know, the Japanese competitors have already demolished our U.S. automakers, so I think that's, but anyway, those are things that are closer together on agreement, which we should be calling and telling everyone not to have this done, but, you know, he likes executive orders, so, but they're still trying to find an agreement. You have 12 countries that are involved in this Trans-Pacific Partnership: Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, the U.S., and Vietnam. So you can see where some of your jobs are going to be going to. And they make up about 40% of the global economy now. Now, when you have all these companies in there now and the U.S., I would think that the U.S. would have to make up most of that 40%. Of the global economy. So again,
did at one point in time, but I'd say increasingly that won't be true. And if we're going to go into this global, deeper into global free trade, the only people have said 100, I don't know, I've said it a number of times on the program, the only people who really benefit from that are people in multinational corporations who are able to build products. They have a capacity to span, to put one foot in one country and one foot in another country. They put one foot in a country where they have cheap labor, and that's where they produce their products, and then they sell the product where they have their foot in the other wealthier country where they have higher labor, and they can sell and make maximized profits. But in the process, the people in the wealthier countries in particular are going to be impoverished because they are going to lose jobs. Jobs are going to flow over to the cheap countries. They're going to get the jobs. Glad to have them. The people in the richer countries are going to see increasing rates of unemployment. This will be a consequence, an absolute consequence of global free trade. We've got these people that are doing, manipulating, well, attempting, they're advocating global free trade. But the truth of the matter is, it's no good for labor. It's no good for the middle class. The only people that are going to benefit from this are the people that are whose livelihoods depend on multinational corporations. They're employed there. They have stock there.
Well, they're looking for this not to be pushed through before the 2014 midterm elections. Mm-hmm. And but what's interesting, though, also is Congress.
That is, Melody. Who do you suppose is not looking forward to the pushing this before this year's elections?
Well, now, who do you think?
It's the Republican Party.
But what's interesting is Congress says they're being kept in the dark about packed details on this agreement.
And well, that's another one.
Even their own party, even Obama's own party has voiced concerns that the treaty will impact on jobs. So, of course, they're not going to bring that up before the election. So,
and they don't want the public to find out what the details are. They don't want to make an issue of this. This is going to be something like the creature from Jekyll Island, where in the end it'll be voted for. But on Christmas Eve, after everybody in Congress has gone home except for half a dozen people that are...
So you would think the Republicans would be out there stomping the bricks, saying, hey, but, you know, there's the... You know, they're so sure they're going to be elected on Obamacare that they'll probably ignore everything else that could actually help them get elected.
I'm going to speculate, guess that the Republican Party is in favor of global free trade insofar as the Republican Party represents the best interests of multinational corporations and big business. They're going to want global free trade. They're going to want this thing. They're not going to, at least the party leadership will.
But they want to be elected.
Yeah, no. So we won't talk about it.
So we won't talk about
it. Exactly.
Could use it to get elected. And then they just change their mind like they all...
But the Democrats don't even have... And this is what's really telling about this from my perspective. From what you're saying, even the Democrats are complaining that they don't get good information on what's happening. They suspect what's going on. They suspect this is going to be bad for American labor. But at the same time, they don't have good information. Republicans, if they have good information, are not talking about it. And they probably don't have good information either. Which tells us... that whoever is really behind this Trans-Pacific Trading Agreement, these people know that they're doing something that's contrary to the best interests of the American people. Neither party really had the rank and file of either of both parties are ignorant about the details. That has to mean that the people perpetrating this treaty, they know this is bad news for everybody in the United States, not just the Republicans, not just the Democrats, not just the middle class and the poor. Everyone will be, this nation will be diminished by that treaty. And if that wasn't true, one side or the other would be advocating all the great benefits we're going to receive. Nobody's advocating benefits, and more than likely the reason is because they know very well that the benefits will only go to a tiny minority who have a direct interest in multinational corporations. So we're dealing with a kind of treason. Let's do it in secret where no one can see it, no one can talk about it, and hopefully the people that vote for it...
Let's just pass it, and then we'll figure it out.
Get thrown a... Right. You have to vote for it, and then you find out what kind of a mess you really voted for.
Sure.
The Nancy Pelosi formula.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
You wanted to talk.
I wanted to talk.
Talk?
On talk radio?
Talk radio.
Wow, that seems
what
so
a
strange.
Concept.
That just seems so strange to me. Yeah. We got an article here from Bill Holter, who writes for Miles Franklin Newsletter. And he reports, he did a little calculation. He found that there's barely 1/85th of 1 ounce of gold produced each year for each inhabitant on the planet. This is how much. Globally, there are an estimated 2,600 to 2,700 tons of gold produced each year. And you divide it by the population, you get 1/85th of an ounce produced each year for each person on Earth. Now, the best interest, he says, according to him, the best interest he's seen on the stock, that is to say the total of gold that's on the face that we have on Earth, is about 170,000 tons. Okay? We produce about 2,600, 2,700 tons of gold each year. The total amount of gold that's available on the face of the Earth at this point in time that's been mined is about 170,000 tons. He says if we divide the 170,000 tons by the total population of 7 billion, you arrive at an average amount of gold of about 3/4 of an ounce per person for every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. That's what you have. Now, that's interesting. All right? It kind of tells you the average person has there is 3/4 of an ounce of gold for every person on earth. How many ounces of gold do you have? You know, a lot of people don't have any. I understand that, and it's interesting information. But let's consider the total world debt now. No, Mr. Holder didn't do that. I am. And you look into it, you do a search on the Internet, and you can find other different varying estimates. But according to Max Kaiser, the total world debt is about $233 trillion. Right? Now, that's a debatable sum because I know people have calculated that the derivatives at times have been estimated to be over about 1.4 quadrillion. We're going to run with Max Kaiser's estimate because it's probably conservative. It probably doesn't include derivatives. I'm sure it doesn't include derivatives.
No, it doesn't include derivatives.
All right, but just run with the $233 trillion. If you divide the total world debt by the total population, again, that's about 7 billion people, we find that the global debt averages out to about $33,000 for every man, woman, and child on the globe. If you were free, you had to pay your fair share of the total debt, your share would be $33,000, right? That would be the share for your wife. That would be the share for each of your children. That would be the share for your parents. Got a family of four, you'd owe, what, $125,000 thereabouts, $130,000, something like that for your family of four. If we divide that $33,000 figure by the average amount of gold, 3/4 of an ounce that had been calculated by Mr. Holter that's available on the planet, we learn that the entire global debt could be backed by gold if the price of gold were about $44,000 per ounce. Now, I know it's hard to follow that, but again, we've got $33,000, divide all the debt, divide it by the population, averages out to $33,000 per person. Divide that $33,000 by the 3/4 of an ounce of gold that's available to every person, and we can come up with a peculiar idea. Now, this is not Nobel Prize winning math, unless of course I were Al Gore or perhaps President Barack Obama. But it's an interesting calculation that the entire global debt could be backed by gold. We could go back to a gold-based monetary system if we set the price of gold at $44,000 per ounce. Now, I'm not suggesting that the entire world is going to be backed, the world debt's going to be backed by gold anytime soon. I'm not suggesting that the entire debt will ever be backed by gold entirely. But I am suggesting that backing the entire world debt with gold is conceivable. If we raise the price of if we raise the price of gold to something like $40,000 to $50,000 per ounce, more. Well, I don't expect the price of gold to reach $50,000 an ounce, at least not in my lifetime. A price of $25,000 an ounce is plausible. Right? It's not outside the realm of possibility. You can't just sit back there, $25,000. Never do that. No, that's possible. It's possible. It wouldn't cover all of the debt in the world. I understand that. But if we were to set up a new currency and it was backed by gold and we set the price of gold to $25,000 an ounce, that currency might work. I'm not predicting $25,000 an ounce, but if the world returns to a gold-based monetary system, I'm not rejecting that possibility either. It's possible. It's not irrational. It is conceivable. And the question then is, will the world ever go back to a gold-based monetary system? And I think it may have to, because if and when the fiat dollar dies, the resulting financial and economic chaos will be so enormous that you're going to have a hard time persuading anyone to go back to a new and improved fiat currency. The average American, the average global citizen doesn't understand what fiat currency is right now. But when it collapses, they're going to understand. They're going to say, holy cow, I will never take another paper-based currency, digital-based currency, unbacked fiat currency. Never, never, never. I just won't do it. Won't ever trust it again. A lot of them are going to say that, and if enough say it, it may be that the government of the world, the governments of the world, the central banks of the world, have to go back to a gold-based monetary system. If they do, what price will they set for gold? And we're, you know, the mathematics we've just gone through don't prove anything. It's just a hypothetical example. But it suggests the $25,000 gold is not impossible, unreasonable, irrational. There's a good case to be made. That might be a plausible price for gold. And the question then is, will the paper dollar fail? will people reject for another generation or two? Will they reject fiat currencies? Will the world be forced to go back to a gold-based monetary system? And if it does, what's the price of gold going to be? Good chance, 25 grand. Not unreasonable. Could be higher. It's part of the reason why you look at gold and you sit back and say, you know, I think this is probably a pretty good bet. It's better than almost anything you can see in paper. You know, paper debts are fine. Stocks and bonds, they are fine if you're investing for a short period of time. If you're going to get in, buy a stock, hang on to it for 30 days, 60 days, 6 months, and then sell it when it hits another little peak and take your profit. All right, that's not unreasonable. You can speculate in that paper. But if you're going to invest, not speculate, invest, which means take a longer-term view. You're going to take something and hold it for 5 years, 10 years. You just don't dare do it with paper. You pretty much have to do it with something tangible, and ideally, you're almost compelled. If you're going to hold an investment for a number of years, you are virtually compelled to go into gold or silver. And this notion that we could go back, maybe we go back to a gold-based monetary system. If we do, people holding gold, I guarantee you, it's not going to be $2,000 an ounce. If the day ever comes when the government says, okay, we're not going to try to get you people to buy our paper anymore, we're going to back it with gold, it's going to have to be multiples of the current price of gold, and 25 grand an ounce, it's not unreasonable. So what do you think, Melody? Are you going to hold your gold and wait and see if the government's going to go back to gold-based monetary system, or should...
Well, you know, I believe this was last week. You had Oklahoma. They passed a bill that reaffirms gold and silver as money. It passed through the state house. The vote was 74-12. It was introduced by Senator Clark Jolly and Rep. Gary Banz, with co-sponsorship Senator Nathan Dom, I guess. So, and it read in part, gold and silver coins issued by the U.S. government are legal tender in the state of Oklahoma. No person may compel another person to tender or accept gold or silver coins that are issued by the U.S. government except as agreed upon by contract. So, they are, I believe, the second state to recognize gold and silver as legal tender, authorized for payments of debts and taxes. Earlier this year, the Arizona Senate also passed a similar bill by a vote of 8-12, but that bill was stalled in the state house. They expect this bill also to be stalled going. But again, states are turning towards, and we have other states that have also recognized, I believe we also have, I thought it was more than just one state that actually...
That have considered,
but I thought Utah had actually passed it. Whether
these bills are passed or not passed within the next 6 months, you know, that's an interesting subject. But the more important point is that there are some states and a growing number of states that are becoming sensitive to the idea there's something different between gold and silver and fiat currency. And they're beginning to understand. People within their states are saying, look, I want to be able to use my gold and silver. And legislators are saying, you know, I think these guys got a point. There is something peculiar about this paper dollar. I always thought it was good, but people are beginning to understand a little more about the nature of money. And as they do, that's not good news for the government. Because the people who understand... that are beginning to understand now. These are the people that are going to stand up and be vocal if and when the dollar fails and the government says, no, we've got a new currency that'll be pink instead of green. We're going to call it the gay American currency. Melody, what do you think? Little pink dollars? You can start a way of celebrating.
Well, Monopoly already has. Huh? Those colors taken.
Well, I understand that.
Monopoly already has those.
That'll be the point.
No, but the point is that I think that gold is not going away. There was a number one article everybody was looking to that water is more valuable than gold. Everybody wanted to read about that. They want to find out what's more valuable than gold. anything to confirm that gold is nothing, but gold is something. Gold is not going to go away. No. I don't care what kind of name they place on it and what they try to do to change the view of people and try to get them to sell it and to eliminate it, to put them into their paper investments. It's not going away. And it's not going to stay at these prices.
No. I mean, when you talk about they're producing an extra 2,600 tons of gold a year, I don't know what the math is on that. Divide that by the population growth of the world. I'll bet the population, if right now the amount of gold averages out to 0.75 ounces per person, I'll bet that the amount of new gold that's being found every year is less than 0.75 ounces per person. Divide the population, but divide the newborn, right, or the population gained by how much gold you're gaining. The price, the quantity of gold available per person is diminishing. It has to mean ultimately the price is going up. I don't care how you want to calculate it. You can't come to a different conclusion.
But I also wanted to say we're getting close to the end of the program. YouTube, 9 years old.
Yep.
It seems like it's been around forever. I don't visit YouTube. I want to read. I don't want to watch people talking. I want to read. And I prefer articles over YouTube. But so folks get a chance. But the first YouTube videos, again, their ninth anniversary, are animals. I do like to watch the animal YouTubes.
Got that Dr. Doolittle thing going on, huh?
Oh, but hard to believe, 9 years.
To the animals.
9 years.
Hard to believe. Yep, it's the same thing with computers. I'm trying to think back. It seems like I must have had a computer back when I was in high school. Now, and then I think, no, actually, I didn't. Pretty strange. Hard to imagine living life without a computer. And talk to people about cell phones. Ask them if they can even comprehend the idea of a party line back in the day when 3-4 different people were on the same phone line. Huh? The world certainly, it's a cliche, but it's true. It is changing with such extraordinary velocity that it's exciting, it's exhilarating, it's scary. And as we move more quickly and quickly, we also become less and less stable. It's another one of those fundamentals you look at and say, look, this thing's going to go down sooner or later. There's got to be a problem. When it is, what am I going to rely on? Good Lord's one of the things you can rely on. And after that, if you want to rely on something in this world, take a look at gold and silver. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.